Match of my life. Life stories and greatest games.
Radio City Talk.
Right, let's do Match of My Life. And my guest today, former Tranmere player and a one-stage manager as well, experienced the highs with Nottingham Forest, time at Leicester and various other clubs as well. Left-back Alan Rodgers. Hello, Alan. Nice to see you.
Okay.
Let's get into the Alan Rodgers story. Where does it all begin for you, Alan?
Well, football-wise, it started... started out at Tranmere as the old YTS days there with the legend of Warwick Rimmer.
Now, Warwick could uncover a player or two, couldn't he?
Oh, he was brilliant, Warwick. Yeah. He was absolutely brilliant. You look back at the players he brought through, it's quite scary. It's a little bit scary how many he's brought through and the money what he made the club.
You're Alan Marnes and you there were some top players, weren't there?
Yeah, even you go back to the team that I played in, we was one of the top teams in the Championship. You know, you had Kenny Hinge, Jeb Brannan, Tony Thomas, John McGreal, Danny Coyne, Ian Moore, the list, it's endless.
Mm. Yeah. So under Warwick, I mean, obviously a local lad.
Yeah.
Because you're a Liverpool fan.
But, yeah.
But even just to be able to get into a Tranmere as a football club and pursue the dream there, was that a massive thing for you?
It was huge, yeah. And I think you felt you could get an opportunity at Tranmere as well. You know, I personally always felt you, from when I had a YTS, I never felt I was too far away from the first team. Mm. You know, we used to watch them, you know, do the jobs, and as it was then, you know, the lads nowadays wouldn't they'd be shocked if they knew the jobs we were doing, brushing, cleaning boots, cleaning the bats out, cleaning the kit and everything we used to do.
I don't know what stage that all changed, but in the 90s it was still pretty relevant, wasn't it? To a team like Tranmere Rovers.
Yeah, I was training with the first team at Tranmere Rovers, and then I'd go and wash all the kit for the lads who had just been training with after it. Mm. And I don't think it should have changed.
It didn't bother you?
Absolutely not, no. No, it was just part of your jobs. They were your jobs. You were a YTS. You were a young lad. You'd done your chores, and you know that was part and parcel of it.
Who were the players you were looking up to in the first team at that stage?
It was the Kenny Hines and John McGreal. You know, John McGreal,
the tough man.
Yeah, John McGreal was a proper player. He was a proper footballer. You know, great defender, but he was class. He was absolutely class. And so was Kenny Hines.
Mm.
Yeah, you know, you look at Kenny Hines back then, he was scoring 15-20 goals a season in the, as it was now, well, it is now, the Championship. You know, it's phenomenal, that.
I mean, it's always been some outfit, Tranmere, hasn't it? But if you look at some of the players at that stage, even from your out Nixons, and they were big, big characters, weren't they? And obviously, your old O's and your...
Yeah.
It feels like a world away, a different sort of generation. But was it a group of players to aspire to, do you think, at the time when you were a young player?
It was, yeah, because, you know, when I was training with, like, my own group, because I was fortunate that I got in the Tranmere team early and, you know, I was in and around the first team and I was a YTS, a second-year YTS, but when we were training on, like, the opposite pitch to them, you could hear, you know, they were laughing and they were training and they were, you know, there was winners, you know, the games at the end, like the little AVA games, it was like playing against another team. Everyone wanted to win and it was a winning mentality there, and you know it was good times. It was a good team
because arguably just off the back of that period where Tranmere always felt they should have been getting into the Premier League and so close. Yeah. The dream was very nearly achieved, realised, and you were later to do it with Nottingham Forest. And what is an incredible story that we'll talk about. Your debut for Tranmere Rovers. How did you learn you were going to make your debut and where you were going to play?
Johnny King used to call me the rabbit's foot because I used to travel away with the team and they never used to get beat. So I think that was part of, he was like, he's travelling.
Yeah, because for the older people, the older listeners, obviously, if you had a rabbit's foot, it was a bit of good luck, wasn't it?
Yeah. I didn't really understand that until years later, but he used to say, is the rabbit's foot travelling? I'm like, the rabbit's foot. So, yeah, and it was looting away. I always remember it, and I didn't know that I was in on the bench or nothing, and he just threw me on the bench, and I think if Arno Bonetti was playing for Luton at the time, I'm sure it was him. Anyway, I just remember, and he threw me on, and I was like, you know, it was kind of out the blue, didn't even say warm up or not, and he just went, you're going on, get ready, and you're kind of stripped, and all of a sudden I'm on, and I think I was 17 at the time, and you're like...
So he didn't give you a talk, a pre-match prep talk about it. Johnny just literally threw you on.
It was just literally, you're on the bench, kind of, you know, and the impression I got was you've got no chance of getting on, you're just making the numbers up. And we're about 20 minutes later, 20 minutes to go, he was like, you're going on, no warm-up, just, which probably helped me really, because it was no nerves could settle in, it was just kind of top off, here you go, you're on.
Didn't have the chance to worry about
it. No, Dan, I think that's, you know, we've probably done that intentionally.
And so did you enjoy that sort of first blooding into the first team?
Yeah, I did. It was brilliant, yeah.
And how quickly did you sort of cement your place in the Tranmere side after that?
Well, I'd done really well when I come on. So the next game was, I think it was Grimsby at home. And I started, and then basically I just stayed in the team after that. So, you know, kind of threw in and stayed in. It was, you know, amazing.
Always a fullback by trade? Did you have ambitions of something else, did you?
No, that was Warwick's fault. I'd always been a centre-forward because I was quick and, I could left-footed and I could hit a ball. So I'd always played centre-forward. And when I went to Tranmere, Warwick just said, you're a left-back. And I was kind of like, you know, is he sure? But
then you just go wherever you're told, don't you? If you can get into the first team.
If Warwick says you're left back, well then you play left back. And that was it, never looked back.
How do you describe your I want to call it a ride with Tranmere Rovers? So a couple of years there involved in the first team, 95 to 97, 57 appearances, only 2 goals. That's why you weren't playing up front. How do you describe that sort of first bit of professional football for you?
It was amazing because there was good people around us, and there was a lot of, like, the team was full of scouts as well, really.
Mm. You Dave Higgins and you.
Davey, one of the funniest men I've come across. Yeah, you had Dave Higgins, John, as I said, John McGreal, Tony Thomas, Jed, all the scouts, like John Aldridge, obviously.
Sean Garner, obviously, great lad.
Yeah, he's a great lad, Sean. Yeah, so it was kind of like I was the young pup in the team, and, you know, the determination I had back then was I wanted to get in Tranmere's team. I wanted to, you know, cement my place, and I always wanted to get the big move, which come quite quick.
The big move, how much is that in your mind as a player? You know your own ability, your talent. You're playing with a lot of, you know, big characters there, but how much are you thinking at the side of things all the time, can I make the step up to another level here?
It was always in my mind because I always had confidence in my ability, and you know, I was playing in the Championship for, you know, Tranmere, and we were always in and around the playoff areas, and, you know, we were a good team, and, you know, I was doing really, really well week in, week out, and I just, my focus was, and the type of person I was back then was that, you know, I wanted the big move and go and push myself even further.
How did you learn about the interest then that was to come your way from Nottingham Forest? So Forest, one of those clubs that, you know, if you hear they're interested in, you think, wow, they've got history, they've got pedigree, double European Cup winners, you know, league winners. This is a team that's got a history that I can get involved with. How did you hear about that first of all?
It was a funny one, that, because I was on holiday in Mexico with my girlfriend, who's now my wife, and we didn't really have mobiles back then, so the hotel phone rung, and I've answered the phone thinking, you know, who's ringing here?
Summer holidays, this.
Summer holidays in Mexico. We were in Mexico, in Cancun. So the phone rings and I've just picked it up and I was like, hello. And he said, hi, Alan, it's Paul White from Nottingham Forest. We've had permission to speak to you. And I actually was like, thought it was one of my mates and went, yeah, do us a favour, mate, and put the phone down.
Yeah, because that would be a classic sort of Tranmere joke amongst the squad, would it? Yeah.
So I've kind of like hung up and probably nearly cost me a move, but the phone rings again and he went, Alan, don't hang up, it's you know, it's serious, it's Paul White. Would you fly home? And I was like, I'm flying home, we've just got here, saved up to come here. So I nearly cost myself a move there.
And what, I mean, how does that conversation sort of open itself up then? They ask you to fly back straight away to have that conversation?
Yeah, because there was, I later found out that there was interest from a few other clubs, Blackburn, I think Graham de Sauer just gone to Chelsea, and Blackburn were sniffing around, looking for the left back, and a couple of other clubs. So Forest were kind of like, you know, they were the ones who were really pushing it, because Stuart Pearce was coming to the end of his time at Forest.
Wow, that's some figure to replace, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
Is there an added weight on that when you realise a team like Forest want you to replace an iconic figure like Stuart Pearce?
That's probably the reason why I went to Forest, to be honest.
You jumped out of it, yeah.
Because I've always been a big fan of Stuart Pearce. I used to look at the way he played and was like, you know, I always thought he was unbelievable, wasn't he? So, yeah, you know, when I flew home, I never flew home early. We stayed for the holiday.
You weren't that desperate.
I don't think my missus would be with me now if we flew home. Yeah, so we flew home and Forrest picked me up and took me straight there, and Stu Pease was there waiting, and, you know, I think they kind of, when I seen him, and he was kind of like, yeah, you're signing here, well then you're signing for Forrest.
Who did you say the manager was again at the time at Forrest?
It was Dave Basser.
Dave Basser?
Yeah.
So there's a guy with some character. Did you already know Dave?
No, I didn't.
No?
No.
Right, so the Forest story is to unfold in a moment or two. Match of My Life today with Alan Rogers. We'll get to his favourite game as well, and of course various other clubs Alan's been involved with, including Aki Stanley, which has always been full of Scousers, Skem as well. So we'll do a little bit of a life story. This morning's Match of My Life conversation is with former Tranmere, Forest and Leicester left-back Alan Rogers. He's just been describing his move to Nottingham Forest, getting dragged back from holiday to make that deal happen and to replace Stuart Pearce. Give us an idea of the calibre, Alan, of that Nottingham Forest side and the club that you were entering at the time.
Yeah, you don't really realise how big a club Nottingham Forest is until you actually go there. I mean, it is a giant of a club. And it was kind of an eye-opener, you know, when I went and signed there, Stuart Pearce met me, Dave Bassett, everything got sorted out and, you know, they look after you properly, they take you and say, like, this is the property, what we think you should buy, and they really, really look after you. And, you know, it was an eye-opener the first week's training there with the quality, you know, there's full of international players.
The ambition straight away is promotion for this lot, isn't
it? Yeah, they got relegated down and then basically the remit was, we need to win the league.
Get back in
the Premier League at the first attempt, you know, and luckily we did, but they spent a lot of money, you know. I think they ended up paying about £2.5 million for me. A lad, Andy Johnson, signed on the same day as me from Norwich City, centre midfielder for £2.5 million. Which was big money back then. So the statement was there straight away.
What other players were in the squad? Was Pierre van Hooydonk in the side at that time? Yeah, made a few headlines, didn't he?
He was a great player, very arrogant Pierre, but his reputation's kind of tainted the Forest because he went on strike, if you remember.
Yeah.
He should be seen as a bit of a legend there because, I mean, we had him, Pierre van Hooydonk and Kevin Campbell up front. I mean, it was some strike for Steve Stone on one wing, Ian Wone on the other. You know, it was a proper team. We had a proper team there.
So there was great class in that side. So the idea is get straight back up.
That was it. Yeah, it was at all costs. You know, even cup games. When we had the cup games, Adi Pass was like, don't win. You know, we were playing someone at home and we went through in penalties and he was absolutely fuming. He played a weakened team and he was fuming. Because, as I say, you know, it was at all costs get promoted.
And another traditional manager, I mean, you talked about playing under Johnny King, who you loved, and Harry as well.
He was brilliant.
Dave Bassett, but one of those who's very old school. But did they get the best out of you because of those types of managers?
It's like Johnny King was unbelievable. And you'd run through a brick wall for him, and just the way his approach and the way he made you feel, you know, you're going to the pitch under Johnny King and you think, like, you're unbeatable. That's what I felt as a young kid, 17, 18 years of age. I felt like no one could get past me, and, you know, That's the way he made me feel. And Dave Bassett was exactly the same. Another one who, you know, he'd build you up. And I was only young when I made the big move to Forest. And, you know, I was still living at home at the time. And it was, you got to adapt, move away. And he knew the days when you were struggling. He'd say after the game, I'll see you Thursday. And, you know, he was an all-round manager, Harry Bassett.
Was it a professional environment in terms of Forest in comparison to Tranmere? They're both professional environments. I suppose what I'm getting at is there's very much a culture at Tranmere of all the lads together. Was it like that at Forest, or did you experience something different when you went there?
It was to a smaller scale. I mean, there was a big togetherness, and they used to go out and, you know, they'd have a few beers together on a... Normally, Forest used to go out on a Monday. They'd have a few beers. It was quite similar. You know, you'd have, like, some of the bigger boys. Your Dean Saunders was still in and around it there. You know, he's absolutely hilarious. And, you know, but, it was quite similar.
Right, describe the path to promotion, and we'll get to the game involving Birmingham City in just a moment or two. Was the league season straightforward?
Yeah, we started off really well. We started off on the front foot and won a good few games. But there were some good teams in the league, and you had the Portsmouth were a really strong team, Middlesbrough. I think Middlesbrough had Gascoigne and Mason and players like that. And Sunderland. Sunderland started that season quite poor, but they went on an unbelievable run the last 20 games, and they were the ones who we were panicking with. I think they ended up going up to the playoffs. What was it?
Let's have a look at your table. No, Charlton.
Oh, Charlton.
Charlton. So Forest, Middlesbrough and Charlton eventually, although Sunderland did finish third in the league. Yeah. So they had the credentials to do it. Forest were the champions with 94 points, but the game that you've picked out is a game between Nottingham Forest and Birmingham at St Andrews. So is this your defining match if you talk about sort of pinnacles footballing-wise?
Yeah, I think it was, I do a podcast actually with Liverpool over this, and I said to the lad who would do it off, you know, like off air, saying the Tottenham game. I felt like that Tottenham game for me for Liverpool was kind of one of them moments where you go, you know, this is close. Mm. And Birmingham is the same. Birmingham were a good team. They had some very good players. I think Peter Unlove and Jeff Horsfield and players like that.
You got to remember how good Unlove was at this time as well.
You know, he was top draw. Yeah. And we were getting beat 1-0, and I'm sure we were down to 10 men. I'm sure we were. And Big Pierre stepped up to the plate and scored two late goals, and that was the moment where me personally just thought, you know, I think this could be the league. I think that when you're winning games like that, I think we're showing all the signs of league winners.
Was that towards the end of the season?
Yeah, it was near the end. I think it was about six or eight games to go.
So this wasn't the match that sort of confirmed.
No, it just
your promotion.
It just felt in the changing room afterwards. You know, it was kind of like that was a big, big game because that was one of our toughest games that we had left away.
Mm.
We had like kind of, if you like, winnable games after that. I think it was like QPR away, weren't up there challenging, and West Brom away was the last game of the season, and we kind of felt if we get through this game, you know, the run-in's in our favour.
Do you remember a Dave Bassett team talk before a game like this, or what was the dressing room like ahead of it? How did he set? Did he set you up to go out for war, or?
He was very underrated because the work we used to do through the week, like we do normal training, like Monday, Tuesday, and then but the Thursday, Friday, everything was focused on the team you're playing against, the shape, you know, set plays. He was big on set plays. Had he for and against, and it was kind of like, you know, we knew exactly how the team was going to play against us, and so by the time the Saturday comes, he was just kind of fine-tuned and says, you know what you're doing now, get out there and do it, you're all good players, I believe you're better than all of these, go out and do it. And he used to send you out there, you know, as if you were unbeatable.
Unbeatable. So that day against Birmingham, even though you go a goal down, you come back to it. Have you got family there? Do you know it's a special occasion?
Yeah, I was just speaking to the lad before, Matt, and I had me dad and me mate there, because after the game, I come back to Liverpool and I'm in my Forest tracksuit and it was a little bit hairy.
Well, getting out of St Andrews.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, so yeah, I had my family there, and it felt big, you know, felt a big moment in the league that season.
Was your dad always someone who went to games with you?
Yeah, he went everywhere, my dad, to be fair, home and away.
Did you feel more comfortable if dad was in the ground watching?
Yeah, you just kind of take him for granted. He'd come to, you know, he was there every home game, and, you know, we used to travel all over the country to come and watch me. And as I say, you do kind of take it for granted, but yeah, I did feel better when he was there.
You've got to sort of think about how big an achievement it is to get promotion.
Yeah.
Back to the Premier League. I mean, a lot is made of it now.
Yeah.
But even back then, that was quite a significant step, wasn't it?
It was huge. Yeah. I mean, you look back now, because I still, you know, I've got a lot of affection for Forest still. I go down there and do after dinners and stuff like that. And it's the last time that Forest won anything. You know, it was the last time they won like anything significant like that. You know, and it's a long time ago, but hopefully they'll be coming back soon.
Yeah. You had 4 years there. Yeah. Not always high. There were some difficult moments as well, wasn't there? Yeah. And eventually moved on and went to Leicester for a 3-year spell.
Mm-hmm.
Very different Leicester City than the one that exists now.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. Yeah, it was Harry Bassett again. Harry Bassett called me.
It was good for you, wasn't he?
He was, to be fair. And at the time, Forest were not, you know, they were not financially, you know, fantastic at the time. And I was one of the biggest earners there. And it was kind of like I'd be doing them a bit of a favour if moved out and, you know, got me off the wage bill, and Harry was there, and, you know, I had a good time. Wasn't the best. I didn't have my best playing time at Leicester, but, you know, I think we got promoted again there.
Well, your goals went off the radar. You didn't get one at Leicester.
No.
But actually, you got 17 at Nottingham Forest. Were you the penalty taker?
No. I pushed further up. I ended up playing in midfield. And I went on. I had a fantastic run at Forest where I scored about 15 goals in about 30, 40 games for the midfield, which was, you know, some going at the time.
Quite impressive, but obviously not the same sort of position at Leicester City. Obviously, you had different clubs, Wigan, loan spell at Hull City. Accrington Stanley was one of your stops, where I'm sure you found a million Scousers.
I did, yeah.
Playing their football. It was only a short period there, but enjoyable.
I was finished, basically, to be honest with you. I had 11 major knee surgeries on my left knee, and I was kind of dwindling away, and that was kind of a bit of a favour to Jimmy and John. But it was fun, it was enjoyable.
Is there a point in your career where you know you've sort of passed yeah. the very best of yourself? And when was that with you, Alan?
Probably towards the end at Leicester. I just couldn't get over these knee injuries, and my knee kept ballooning up after every game, and I'd either get it drained or I wouldn't be able to play on a Saturday and a Wednesday, or I'd have to, as I say, get the injection to drain fluid out my knee. And it was kind of round about the 26, 27, I thought, I'm not going to be able to carry on much longer than this.
You couldn't keep going. You've obviously played a lot of games, 329 games in total. Is there something that you wish you'd actually achieved in the game that you came close to doing?
Yeah, I mean, I think before I got in a serious knee injury at Forest, I was very close to breaking into the full England squad. In hindsight, it's a wonderful thing. I think if I'd have stayed injury clear, I might have had a run at that.
Was there a connection with the FA or a conversation that indicated you were in the thoughts?
I was regularly in the under-21s. I was in the I got in the England B squad, which, do you ever remember Matt Letizia scored the hat-trick at Russia at QPR? I was in that squad. So I was in and around it, and then obviously I snapped the cruciate with Forest and kind of never really got back to the level after that.
So that was a critical moment, really, in terms of your career and where you were going to go. You've tried your hand at management.
Well,
including the spell at Tranmere Rovers.
Yeah, yeah.
Obviously, that came off the back of the departure of your friend.
Yeah, Mickey.
Mickey Mellon.
Adams.
Adams, yeah. At the time, is that a tough role to fill or step into?
It is, yeah, because I think the writing was on the wall early on, and Mark Palace asked me to take over until the end of the season. We had two games left. We had to win the two games. One was Plymouth away, one was Bury at home, who were eventually champions. So it was a really difficult task, but...
Well, you can't be defined by that, can you? But
not really. No, but it was a difficult task. It was a difficult time for Tranmere to... Mickey come in when Tranmere were really, really struggling. One of the pivotal moments I felt there was the loss of Jordan Hugel. That was kind of the time when I personally thought, we should have kept him. We got him on loan from Preston. He scored a couple of goals, wasn't 100% fit, and he was just getting fit. And we felt if we'd have kept him for another month for the loan, he might have got us the goals, what kept us in the league. For what reasons, I don't know, to be honest with you, I weren't privy to that, but he weren't kept. And he went to Hartlepool and scored four goals, and two in the final day of the season, what sent us down.
A fine margin, sometimes you can't call these things.
Yeah.
But other spells, Skem as well, close to your heart?
Yeah, full of great people, Skem. At the time I went in, they were financially, they never had any finances, basically. But really, really good people. We just fans of the club. And it's a shame where you see them now, because they're decimated with finance. The landlords removed them from the stadium and the ground. They're renting Prescott Cable Stadium, which is a burden on them. They can't really afford to do it, which has a knock-on effect on the players who you can bring in. So hopefully better things are coming for Skem.
Absolutely. Yeah, you're still a big Liverpool fan.
Oh, absolutely.
Got your eyes on. How do you feel the season could turn out for the Reds?
Probably do the double.
A little bit of confidence there.
Yeah, I think you've got...
You made the trip to Kiev. You're hoping you might get to Madrid, yeah?
Hopefully, yeah.
Yeah.
Me and my son went to Kiev. It was an unbelievable experience, and especially for him. A lot of people are talking about the quadruple for Man City, and no one's really mentioned Liverpool potentially doing the double.
Yeah, it's almost like they're the second thought for everyone outside of Merseyside, which is a little bit odd at the moment, isn't it?
Well, it is. I'd certainly rather be in Liverpool's position at the minute with the games they've got in the league and the Champions League draw than Man City's.
Could Andy Robertson teach you a thing or two?
Oh, he's top draw, isn't he?
Yeah.
He is top draw. When you consider, basically, we got him on a free, really, didn't we? It was like a straight swap as a Kevin Stewart.
Yeah, he went the other way to Hull, didn't he?
Yeah, so when you consider that, it's got to be one of the bargains of the century.
And of course, Klopp sometimes gets criticised for having what people say are a bit more of a negative midfield, but that's because he's loading up the wings, isn't it? The fullbacks are maybe slightly different. Maybe like you at Nottingham Forest, a bit more of a marauding fullback.
Yeah. I mean, I was an attacking fullback, but you look at these, the Trent as well, and I'm a big fan of his. You look at the way they play, I mean, they're not fullbacks. They're just kind of like wingers who sometimes get back and defend. And I think that's why Liverpool are so successful through them. You look at the assists they've got this season, the two of them. It's phenomenal.
Might you be back in the game soon, Al? Would you fancy another stint somewhere? Or
yeah, I think, you know, we've just had a new baby, so he's taking up all the time at the minute. So, you know, in the next couple of months, I think I'll be getting back in the field and doing a bit of coaching.
That's enough to drive you back into football management. It's quieter than having a baby, isn't it?
It is, yeah.
Alan, you've been a great guest. Thank you very much indeed.
Cheers.
Alan Rogers on his life as a footballer at Tranmere Forest and Leicester City as well.
Match of my life. Life stories and greatest games.
Radio City Talk.